Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning. Welcome back in. It is the Wednesday edition of the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Logan and Kevin making his four-hour debut. Kevin, the reviews are coming in and you're doing a fine job.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank all your fans and listeners later, because this music means one thing and one thing only, at least according to the 960 The Ref morning show, and that means it's one of our favorite times of the week. Wednesday at 8:05, and we bring in the host of Dog Nation Daily, which you can hear right here on The Ref between 12 and 1 o'clock. Also from the Dog Nation World Headquarters, he goes on air at 10 o'clock every morning on his Facebook page, and there's other podcast options. Good morning, Brandon. How are you this Wednesday morning?
I'm doing well. I hope you guys are doing great also.
We are doing great for many different reasons, Brandon, but mostly because we are 3 days away from week zero, which means 10 days away from the Georgia Bulldogs. As a lot of folks on Twitter are saying, basically turning on the Death Star that Kirby Smart has been building and hopefully seeing that thing in its full function. Before we get to the Bulldogs, I will ask you about week zero. You are the president of the Gator Hater Club, of the worldwide Gator Hater Club. Let me just ask you from a fan perspective. I know you are a professional, but watching this game on Saturday night, are you watching just hoping that Florida collapses in epic proportion? Are you watching more from like a level-headed, let's see how Florida looks this year?
So I'll be completely honest with you that, you know, I do enjoy being a fan of college football, and therefore I enjoy having a rooting interest.
Right.
So when I tune in to watch the game, and I'm excited about seeing it, when I tune in to watch the game, I won't pretend to do anything other than root for Florida to lose.
Right.
However, in addition to that, I am also curious because, you know, I try to be self-aware and I try to look for my own personal blind spots. And, you know, I'm of the belief that Felipe Franks is not going to be as improved as a quarterback this year as Dan Mullen says he's going to be and Florida fans hope he's going to be. And I'll be looking in this game for evidence that I might be wrong about that. I'll be looking for evidence that, you know, the Florida offensive line that I've been suspicious about.
Yeah.
I'll be looking for evidence that I might be wrong about that. The one thing I've said about Florida, and the reason why I believe of all the preseason top 10 teams in the AP poll, they're the most likely to finish the season unranked, which is what I believe that Florida will do this season. You know, I talk about the total number of relatively close point spread. This game is kind of an example of that. Florida, I believe, a little bit more than a touchdown favorite right now, but it's essentially close to a touchdown line one way or another. And you know, you can't have every single one, or at least you can't expect to have every single one of your close games break the same way. That kind of happened and worked in Florida's favor a little bit a season ago. I don't expect that to be the case here in 2019. So that's another thing that I will be looking at with some curiosity. You know, can Florida take what Vegas thinks is at least within a score or so, and can Florida be more impressive than that against the number? Can Florida go out there and flex a little bit? If they do, then I'll have to, I guess, acknowledge that and give them a little bit of credit. But I'm guessing what you see on week zero is an example. Even if Florida wins the game, I think it's an example of one of the reasons why I think that when Florida gets into games with tougher competition, the LSUs, the Auburns, those teams that have placed in the SEC West, obviously to say nothing of Georgia, that's when I think you're going to see the true Florida show up, one that it's not quite ready for primetime in comparison to this conference's best teams.
You mentioned Florida's offensive line, which very well could be their weak point, at least on paper, before we get to see them in action. We remember the days here in Georgia where there was a very good team around an average at best offensive line, and it really did throw a wrench into the Georgia offense. That being said, your point on Felipe Franks, could that offensive line for Florida, at least, like I said, on paper, are we expecting that to sort of be, for lack of better term, their downfall that we're kind of sort of rooting for this season?
Well, certainly you don't want to be trying to mitigate for an average or maybe below average offensive line. As you said before, Unfortunately, Georgia has found themselves in that position in the past. That's not the kind of thing that you want to be, you know, trying to do, because in the SEC, that's going to get exposed. Now, Miami with first-year coach Manny Diaz and, you know, kind of a middling level of talent compared to some of this conference's best teams, are they going to be able to expose that? There's a very good chance they're not going to be able to. And, you know, to say nothing of the fact they're going to be starting a three-star quarterback and, you know, things along those lines. You know, there's a good chance that Miami's just not quite good enough to expose Florida one way or another. But as you get into the season, you better hope, if you're a Florida fan, that the projections and expectations for that Florida offensive line, that the Gators actually end up being better than that, because it's really hard to be a good team if you don't have a good or very good offensive line. And, you know, ultimately that's what, you know, Florida's going to be trying to figure out here. I'm excited about the game. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've waited a long time for real, legitimate college football, and this is it. And I'm just really curious about it.
I want to get to a lot of Georgia football. I got one final question, though, about week zero. Is it pretty obvious and evident that Florida has the most to lose against Miami? Miami, the new coach, Manny Diaz, this is the weight of the world on Florida's shoulders. Am I reading that correctly?
No, I think that's probably fair. I mean, when we start the next week, even though it's game week for everybody else, the biggest story in college football, one way or another, on Monday morning, is going to be Florida. It's either, you know, people on Twitter saying, wow, Florida really looks the part of being a team that's better in, with Dan Mullen in year two, or it's going to be one of these things, even if it's kind of an ugly close win where, you know, some tough questions are asked about Florida. If that's the case, that's going to be mostly led by Gators fans. They're the ones who are going to be leading the charge on their own team's criticism if Florida wins without looking super sharp, or if somehow to be upset in this game. It'll be Gators fans who kind of lead that charge. So for at least Monday morning, the biggest story nationally in college football is going to be Florida one way or another, what it does do or what it doesn't do against Miami. Now, by the time the afternoon rolls around, everybody, including Georgia fans, will be excited about their own game. But your Sunday, your Monday headlines and your opinion, hot takes, chatter, it's going to be dominated by Florida, either for the good or for the bad.
Fair enough. Now, I've had the pleasure of seeing you multiple times now through preseason camp over at Buttsmere, getting a quick look at the boys on the practice field. I'm having trouble putting it into words, so I was going to see if maybe you could help me out with this. What I'm telling people when they ask, what does the team look like? I come up with the term that says they look different than anything I've seen in the past. Is that a fair assessment? And I mean that in a good way. Can you help me put the words on this to what this team looks like compared to maybe some years past?
Yeah, I mean, what it looks like to my eyes when I see them is a team that you would suspect is a lot less dependent on any one player than it's ever been in the past. Now, quarterback is obviously a little bit of a different animal because of the overall value of the position and the fact that Fromm is such a veteran starter in comparison to other quarterbacks. You may push that position and that particular player to the side here for a moment, but if you look at virtually every other position group and the depth within those position groups, the size and the stature of all the players in that group, I've never seen a Georgia team that seemed more capable of withstanding the stress test that every season is going to provide. Because let's face it, football is a violent collision sport. There are guys who are going through practice right now that won't finish the season for Georgia. It's just a natural byproduct of the game of football. Someone's going to get hurt. And yet this Georgia team doesn't have to live in fear as much of the debilitating injury as previous teams would have because of how deep it is. I mean, I'm amazed at how many names you can get through on a depth chart position group. I mean, take linebacker, for instance. You have to scratch off a lot of names in the linebacker group, inside linebackers only, if you want to. You scratch off a lot of names before you even get down to a guy like Ryan Trouble Davis, who was basically a top 100 recruit in the country for the class of 2019. For most programs, that would be a guy that would be one of the centerpieces of the most recent recruiting class. I'm not picking on Davis, but he's an example also of a guy at Georgia that may have a hard time getting on the bus to go to Vanderbilt because of the fact that you're only allowed to travel 70. I'm not saying he's not. I'm not making a prediction about that one way or another. I'm saying that when you look at the 15 scholarship players that won't be going with Georgia to Vanderbilt, you're going to see a high, high level of talent. And when you're out there for a brief couple of minutes during practice, the team, you know, going through its drills and its warm-ups, it looks like the kind of team that it's represented by on paper, and that's probably the best way that I can say that.
Speaking with the host of Dog Nation Daily, Brandon Adams.
So, Brandon, Kevin Erickson here. So, we saw Michael Barnett yesterday speaking with the media about Jordan Davis and how it's like iron sharpening iron when going up against that offensive line in practice. And I also predicted last week on air that Tyler Clark would be the sack leader at the end of the year. What do you think about the depth of the defensive line and just how well they'll be able to get after the quarterback this year?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think that Tyler Clark's an interesting prediction in terms of leading this team in sacks. We certainly saw that from him at the Rose Bowl going back a couple years ago, and I think Georgia fans would love to see him be able to put that together for the entirety of the season. Completely agree with, you know, Barnett's assessment of Jordan Davis. Davis, because of his size and because of, you know, how effective he was as a freshman, you got a lot of confidence in him by being able to clog that middle and make it tough to run on Georgia, even when Georgia's thinking about rushing the passer and, you know, things of that nature. Davis's presence kind of dissuades teams from running just a bit. My concern, though, about the Georgia depth along the defensive line is no one can deny that there are a lot of bodies that Georgia can throw at what it would perceive to be its problems. Lack of tackles for loss a year ago, lack of pass rush. I keep beating the drum for a need to improve the overall rush defense, something that Georgia wasn't great at a year ago. And to me, that's just as significant of a problem as the lack of the pass rush. So Georgia's got a lot of potential bodies that can throw at this defensive line situation. And in terms of finding a few guys that can be effective from that group, I think there's a really good chance that's the case. However, I'm more sure of the total number of players that could potentially play than I am sure about the top-end talent and how it's going to perform, if that makes sense. I think that Clark is a strong possibility, but in terms of him having a big year, I wouldn't put him in the given category as of yet. Davis, for what he does, maybe a little closer to a given, but I think you've still got some, you know, fairly legitimate questions about what that defensive end and the traditional 3-4 is going to look like. And just, you know, who the overall catalysts are going to be to get the front of the Georgia defense playing the way that Kirby Smart says he wants it to play. You know, he's even talked back going to the spring practice about the lack of that, he calls it like a quick, twitchy three technique, meaning an athletic defensive tackle that can dominate alongside a big space-eating guy like Jordan Davis. There's no doubt that there are a high total number of players that Georgia can play along the defensive line. A lot of names, a lot of bodies to potentially cycle through there. But I think the top end of that Georgia defensive line is still a little unproven, including a guy like Clark, who you thought was close to truly having a breakout and maybe stopped just short of that in 2018.
You mentioned the depth of that defensive line, and the way that we, the media, get a lot of clues as to who's performing is to have to ask the players that are made available to us during media availability, but a name that has come up frequently amongst these guys is Trayvon Walker, the 5-star true freshman. But I've heard you discuss Trayvon in the past, and you do sort of pump the brakes, and hopefully I'm saying this right, on putting your expectations on a true freshman in the SEC. That being said, there's a lot of positive buzz around Trayvon, and your producer extraordinaire Connor Riley has an article up right now on DogNation.com about Trayvon, but what are we expecting from Trayvon Walker this season, BA?
So my take on Trayvon for the, you know, since he signed with Georgia is, in terms of the comp for what he might be by the time his Georgia career is done, he actually may have as much pro potential as anybody on the Georgia roster, regardless of position. I think he is a sterling prospect. However, when I talk about expectations for year one, things like that, I'm always looking for comps. I'm always looking for guys prior to Walker, either at Georgia or in the SEC, because it doesn't do much good to compare these guys to non-SEC players, because the non-SEC players aren't playing against other SEC players week in and week out. I'm looking for comps. I'm looking for guys who've performed similarly with a similar skill set and resume coming in. And along the defensive line, you're just going to find less of those. You're going to find less guys as freshmen who do that. And I think when you look at Walker, one of the reasons why I've been skeptical of his year one impact is, while he is in phenomenal shape, at least the best I can tell, and certainly, you know, the best judge I can be of that, in terms of the kind of size that you typically see from some of these elite SEC defensive linemen, I don't know that he's quite there yet in terms of that overall size. However, the one thing that he does have, in a way that almost no SEC lineman in this league is going to be able to match, is the sheer athleticism. He was a very good basketball player in high school, for instance. He was a field athlete as well. This is a guy that has done multiple sports at a really high level, so he brings that athleticism. Ultimately, there is a chance I end up being wrong about Walker in year one, and his impact, because of his athleticism, is greater than I initially anticipated. And the fact that we've heard Isaiah Wilson mention him the other day, and you know some of the things that have been said as of late, would indicate that, hey, maybe there is a chance that's indeed the case, and I didn't give him enough credit for what he might be able to do as a true freshman here in 2019. He was a summer enrollee, though, and that also is the kind of thing that can typically slow development just a bit. I guess the overall bottom line is that I believe that Walker has a very bright future, but I'm always going to be a little skeptical of freshmen along the defensive line. There are plenty of positions where being a freshman doesn't matter. Some of them might even surprise you just a little bit based on the stats themselves. Defensive line is one where experience seems to count a little bit more, and that's kind of why I've pumped the brakes a little bit on Walker for year one, but there's a very good chance I end up being wrong about that.
Brandon, I just wanted to know real quick, do you know off the top of your head what the Gator Hater Updater is at?
That's a really good question. We are, what, 1,000? We're into the 1,020s now. We may be at, what, 1028? Something along those lines.
Right.
It's nice to see that number getting up into the four digits for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
It's one of the best part of your shows is getting that updated, and hopefully we'll have at least, what, about 400 more days on that thing before we have to even consider going the other direction. But, Brandon, great stuff at always. We always appreciate your time this morning. You will be on air later this morning and on our station 12 to 1. What's being cooked up at the Dog Nation World Headquarters to look forward to today?
You know, it's exciting to think about the move towards the start of the season. We'll continue to look ahead to what's going to happen next Saturday against Vanderbilt. We'll react to everything that's gone on during Georgia practices here as well. So, and by the way, some interesting comments from Jake Fromm we're going to get into.
Excellent.
On today's program, too. So we'll have a busy, loaded show and invite everybody in Athens to see us here at noon on 960 The Round.
We will certainly be listening, and I look very forward to it. And again, thanks for your time. We'll catch you next week, and we'll talk to you on game week next week. How does that sound?
It just sounds great to me.
Absolutely.
Can't wait to do it.
Thanks, Brandon. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Brandon.
Brandon Adams, host of Dog Nation Daily.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.